Good. Glad to hear that.
Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody?
Hello.
Just wonderful, hello. Wonderful, wonderful.
Hello.
Excellent. Excellent. Sounds like we got a lot of people on today. Congratulations and welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students only. And if you're brand new, if you're new, you're just jumping on, we appreciate the business. Glad you're here, and thanks a lot for joining today. So the way this works is we'll just take turns, and I'll be on here absolutely as long as you guys need me to and answer as many questions as you have. So with that, let's just go ahead and jump right in. Who has a question you'd like to ask? Everybody just wants to listen today, huh?
Well, I'm brand new to the Inner Circle. What's the first, second, and third steps of getting ready and get going?
Okay, first, second, and third steps. So what are you wanting to do? Are you going to wholesale, or are you going to do seller financing or fix and flips or what?
Probably everything but fix and flip for right now.
Good for you. So wholesaling is probably the quickest thing. So the very first thing you need to do is learn how to analyze. Number one, analyze. Right?
Right.
Number one, analyze. And on a wholesale deal, it's typically going to be something like ARV, after repaired value, times 0.7, minus repairs, minus maybe a couple thousand for closing costs, and minus what you want to make, and boom, there's how much you can pay for it, right?
How do you get the after repaired value?
I'm sorry?
How do you get the after repaired value?
Yeah, by pulling comps, looking up comps, sold properties on Zillow or sold properties on Zillow or a site like RealQuest.com. We use them as well. So you'll get the sold comps, not the Zestimate, but the sold comps, okay? Now, so that's number one, is to analyze. Number two is you're going to line up your money, okay? You want to start looking for some private money, some cash partners, credit card partners, whatever it is, especially if you're buying off a HUD or the MLS, they don't allow assignments. So you're going to need to line up some money, private money. And there's a lot of different sources out there, but the ideal thing would be to find somebody that you know that will you can borrow some short-term money from, because all you really need to do is just buy it and turn around and resell it if you're wholesaling, okay? So that's number two. Number three, okay, is start building your buyer's list, right? you can do that as well as find private money at your local VIA groups, call every I Buy Houses sign, every I Buy Houses ad, look online and run your own Craigslist ads, search on Craigslist ads, just start building your buyer's list, right? And then the fourth thing is start making offers, right? Start making offers. Now, if you're working off-market properties, you're going to have to start marketing, right? You're going to have to start marketing to get properties by doing Craigslist ads, by putting out flyers, putting out bandit signs, the signs that say I Buy Houses, and you could even start doing some direct mail. A great place to start is GoBigPrinting.com. GoBigPrinting.com. That's a great place to start with direct mail, right? If you want to do some pay-per-click or Facebook marketing and ads, a great place to start is AdWordsNerds.com. AdWords, A-D-W-R-D-S, Nerds, N-E-R-D-S.com. That's a great place to start for pay-per-click advertising. Or another great place to start is DealBot, D-O-D-E-A-L-B-O-T and I believe it is .co, not .com, but .co. So that's another great place to start for marketing and advertising. And to get bandit signs, you can go to yardsignswholesale.com, yardsignswholesale.com, or banditsigns.com. Great. So I hope that helped answer your question.
That was Deal Bot, B-O-U-G-H-T?
No, B-O-T as in robot.
Okay.
Yeah. Deal, D-E-A-L, B-O-T.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped. Good. Who else has a question, wants to jump in?
Hey, Larry, this is Chad Hunter. How are you? Chad and Jeannie.
What's going on, Chad? How you been?
Great, great. Thank you. We're just have some questions. We're trying to find a target market, and we just want to find out, in your words, what would qualify when you're looking for houses under $50,000 and the amount of them available. Is there a certain number you want to see that would qualify a good target market to start pursuing?
No. No, I don't really have a specific number. Where do you live?
Well, we're in Arizona and Montana, but we're going to be focusing on maybe, you know, east of Denver area. So
okay, east of Denver. Okay, okay. Well, and what type of what are you doing for marketing? Direct mail, pay per click.
Well, we haven't started. We're just trying to find a target market. We're just trying to, and we also live in Phoenix, so in the Phoenix area too. I know homes are higher here, but we're just trying to find out where we want a, you know, a target market to go to, and a number of homes available under $50,000 to consider a good area or not.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, instead of giving you a target market, I'm going to give you some websites to go to, right? So you can start doing your own research, okay?
Okay.
If you want to keep your target market in a small area, because there's two ways you could do this. You can go deep or you can go wide, okay? Meaning going deep, let's say you were buying in just one area, like say, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, okay? Just to pick a place. If you wanted to stay in just the Birmingham area and not go outside of Birmingham, you're going to have to do, you know, multiple different ways. Maybe direct mail, maybe pay-per-click, maybe HUD, maybe bandit signs, bird dogs, Craigslist, MLS, you know, to get enough deals to make any traction.
Right.
But if you're willing to go wide, meaning Alabama as opposed to Birmingham, then you might be able to just do direct mail, or just do pay-per-click advertising, or just recruit bird dogs and have them put out bandit signs for you, right? So you don't have to do near as much if you just do just a couple of things, if you go wide. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. What about flooded areas? Do you kind of pursue, with all that stuff happening in Louisiana and stuff?
No, not particularly, no.
Okay. All right.
No. Okay, so let me give you a few websites to go to, and everybody else could jot this down too, okay?
Okay.
You can get home sales and prices at city-data.com. City-data.com.
Sure.
If you're going to pick an MSA, Metropolitan Statistical Area, I look for one that has at least 1 million-plus population, right? And there's flat to moderate appreciation. In other words, I'm not looking for a Las Vegas or a Phoenix or a Orange County, California, or even a Dallas, Texas, right? I'm looking for a, you know, Cincinnati, Ohio, or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, or Memphis, Tennessee, or you know, Oklahoma City, or you know what I mean, just any of those kind of areas. And I also like the older cities. In other words, like in Phoenix, you don't have a lot of older neighborhoods that are really old. So therefore, you have fewer lower priced properties that are landlord type properties, because if you're wholesaling, the cheaper houses wholesale faster, right? So
yeah,
city
dash
data, million plus population, flat or moderate appreciation. You can also find unemployment information at BLS.gov. BLS.gov. Also, you can find some good local rent and information on MSAs at Zillow.com/local-info. Zillow.com/local-info. And then there's also info at like census.gov, census, CENSUS.gov. And you can also look up some city data at FHFA.gov, Federal Housing Finance Administration.gov, FHFA.gov. So I hope that helped. That'll help you pick on a market.
No, that sounds great. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. It's my pleasure. So who else has a question?
If you're low on cash, should you really go outside your market area?
If you're low on cash, should you really go outside your market area? I don't think the two are relevant. I really don't. I guess it's really hard for me to answer that without asking you a few questions. What's your experience level, and what kind of real estate are you going to be doing?
Well, my experience level 20 years ago was I went in to be a landlord and ended up being a slumlord.
I hear you.
Lay down. The aha moment was when I had to pay for them.
I hear you. So are you getting back into it now?
Yes.
And what do you plan on doing? Are you going to buy and invest long term? You got money to put in deals, or are you going to wholesale, or what?
I'm going to have to wholesale to get some cash to do what you teach about getting one and holding on to it. And
good. Then if you target off-market properties, you don't need any money. You can do assignments, right? If you target off-market properties by doing direct mail, gobigprinting.com, or pay-per-click advertising, dealbot.com, or adwordnerds.com, then you can generate leads off-market, negotiate those deals, find you a boots-on-the-ground person to start putting out signs and maybe even to show the property if you need to, and then sell those properties and just do an assignment. You don't have to have any of your own cash to do it, right?
I hear you.
It'll take you a little bit. It'll take you a little bit. Don't get nervous about it. We'll walk you through it.
I'm still waiting to see it. Once I see it, you won't be able to stop me.
Are you on the Facebook group for the Inner Circle?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, look up on Facebook. Look up Larry Goins' official Inner Circle Facebook group and join that group. There's people on there talk about, hey, I just did my first virtual real estate deal, just did this. I got a girl right now in California. She did her first wholesale deal virtual in Alabama. She's in California, and now she's doing a virtual deal where she's going to make close to $100,000 wholesaling a $1.2 million house and never go look at it.
That was Larry Goins' official
Inner Circle group. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Awesome. Go get them. Good. Anybody else have a question?
bought your Filthy Riches course probably 6 months ago. And I believe you have some updates. I guess I just called into the office and asked somebody how to edit.
No. Here's what you do. It's very simple. Look, in fact, I do have a lot of updates for the Filthy Riches course, and I'm adding stuff all the time. All you got to do is look on that piece of paper that came in your course that has a big stop sign on it, and it says, read this first. Look on that page, and it'll say, here's the link you go to for your updates. And then you click on that, and you log in. And then you look there for updates, and you can download them right there.
Okay.
Yeah, first thing to do, though, is look on your read this first sheet in the course. If you can't find it, then you can email customer service, and he'll send you one.
All right, thank you.
Awesome. No problem at all. My pleasure. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, what do you think about subject two?
What do I think about subject two?
Yeah.
All right, just so everybody knows, what you're talking about is finding somebody that has a house, they have a mortgage on it, they're tired of making the mortgage payment, you get them to deed the property to you, right, subject to that existing mortgage. So now you have the deed to the house, but it's somebody else's loan, and you agree to make the payments, right? That's what we're talking about, right?
Right.
Good. I'm not a big fan of that, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. So the reason is there's a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of the so-called gurus saying, you know, just get the deed, just get the deed, just get the deed. Well, the problem is there's a lot of people out there getting the deed, but they don't have any business getting the deed, because once they get it, then what happens if you can't find a buyer, you can't put somebody in it, you can't make the payments, and then you end up defaulting on their loan that you promised them you'd make the payments on. So I'm a firm believer, if you take on a job, you're responsible for the outcome. So as long as you're in a position, or anybody doing that is in a position to make those payments, if you can't get the property rented out or sold, then by all means do it. But I don't recommend it, and I don't advise other people to do it, especially starting out, because if they can't find somebody, then it's just going to make everybody look bad by not being able to make those payments. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Good, good. That's why. So I hope that helped.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, can I ask this? What is the whole lot of difference between that and taking over a house and putting a private money mortgage on it? I'm still on the hook for the bad.
Yeah, but at least you're the one that negotiated the private money, and the private money lender loaned you the money. In the other scenario, with the subject to deal, you promised somebody you'd make the payment on their mortgage, and then you end up ruining their credit if you can't make the payments. That's the difference. In fact, that has happened a lot, and that's the reason there's a lot of legislation in different states about doing subject to deals. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Good, good, good. Who else has a question? You guys have had some really good questions today. That's awesome. Who else has one?
Hey, Larry, this is Chad Hunter again.
Hey.
Yes, sir. As far as land contract state, is Texas and Arizona, from your experience, good land contract states for owner financing?
No, you can't. Well, let me back up. Land contracts, and or they're also called contract for deed, is not allowed in Texas. Okay? Also, you're not allowed to do a lease option in Texas that's more than 6 months. So if you're in Texas, is that where you are?
Well, that's one of the areas we're looking.
Okay. So if you're in Texas, or if you want to do seller finance type deals in Texas, the only way to do it is to go straight to a mortgage, right? Or you could do a 6 month rental agreement, and then a 6 month lease option agreement, And if they stick, then go to the seller financing, mortgage or deed of trust.
Okay. All right. What about Arizona?
Yeah. Arizona, you can do land contracts in Arizona. There's no problem with that.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you so much, Larry.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. That's good. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Tim in Asheville. How are you?
Hey, how have you been?
I'm doing pretty well. Are you okay?
I'm doing just fine, doing just fine. Just got back from St. Louis last night. We had a three-day event over there. Met a lot of nice people and had a lot of fun, so it was good.
Well, great. Sometimes you got to get out of North Carolina to find a new group, and that's good.
Yeah, which actually reminds me, I'm glad you asked me that. It reminds me, our last three-day event that we did in Charlotte, now it's one, I believe, before you came to Charlotte, but it was the last one that we did just a couple of months ago. We recorded it. And I've added a tremendous amount of content and information. And, in fact, I've got over 600 PowerPoint slides, and we recorded the whole thing. And for those of you guys in the Inner Circle, we uploaded it to the Inner Circle membership page. So when you log into your Inner Circle membership, the University Knowledge Base, you can actually look for my most recent three-day and get all those recordings and watch them right there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember you were there. It was probably been, I'm guessing, 8 or 10 months ago or 6 or 8 months ago or something like that, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So I've added a lot more information to it as well. So, you know, like I say, I got a lot more PowerPoint slides. We've added a lot of information, so you would get a lot out of it too.
Good. Well, I am hearing different websites than I've heard before, and I'm from your calls here, and those are always helpful. It's nice.
Good.
To know new things you come up with.
Well, good. Yeah, and all those that I gave out, like Go Big Printing and DealBot, you know, I've tried them out, used them, so you know, I'm not just giving you, you know, websites in the dark, you know.
No, sure.
Yeah, I've spoken with the owners, you know, as well. So, anyway, So I didn't mean to get sidetracked, but I'm sure you had a question.
Well, this is just sort of a little bit of an analysis, and maybe it's. Ties in to the first question of what do you do first and that type of thing as well.
Right.
But for us, our first, as you kind of know, is that Asheville is somewhat difficult to work, and so we're working on our virtual side of things. And,
right.
So we have been putting dozens of offers out on HUD, you know, waiting for something to hit, and after a month and a half, this particular property dropped in the middle of the night and hit our ratio, and the offer got accepted. So,
well, good for you. That's great.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We used to do a lot of them, and it's just, you know, rarer these days. But anyhow, I was pleased with this. I just want to get a feel of, since it is virtual for us, or I'd like to look at it that way so that I can get a system in place and get used to the idea of it, you know.
Right.
It's in Rayford, North Carolina, and it seems like this one would be a strong one. It is a double wide. We got it for about 34. The bank foreclosed on it at 68. The original pricing on it was in the 120 range, something like that. And even, you know, for those that look at tax value, not that we use that as a tool, but some people look at that when they're buying houses.
Right.
It's at 86, so it's not like we're buying it above tax value, even if it was worth that, you know. So,
right.
I guess my question is, what are the different things that I should do at this point? Of course, like you said, we have lenders in place. We've done that, of course, because we've been in it so long. But that's set up, so we're able to do HUDs as we've done in the past. But my point, what I'm asking at this point is exit strategies with the little bit that I've given you so far, because the ARV, I think, could easily be 70. It might be a little higher than that. What would you recommend as...
Well, how much work does it need?
It's pretty much... if I pressure wash the outside, a new owner could pretty much move in and then live with the ugly green carpet, you know, until they fixed it up, you know. So I could do that.
Well, no, I meant like if you were going to retail it.
Oh, retail it. It's paint and carpet and pressure wash. That's pretty much all it is.
So $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, I like to look more on the 10 side. Just
okay. So, and what did you say you're paying for it?
34, 35, something like that.
And what are other similar houses around there? You know, even bank-owned properties and stuff. Is there some other stuff in the 30s around there? Or is the other stuff, you know, in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s?
As far as bank-owned, I don't know that there's much of anything else to really compare to. So I guess the rehabber would be rather happy with that. But it's not a, you know, it's not a big place, as you know.
but it is a double wide, right?
It is a double wide. It's a 2001 with 2,000 square feet and four bedrooms.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things you could do, okay? You could either sell or finance it for probably $79,900, get about five down, finance $74,900. And then sell the note, or, you know, even let's say you had to sell it for $69,900. You get five down, and you got a $64,900 note. You could sell that note at 15% for about $44,000, okay?
Okay.
So if you sold that note at $44,000, then you're going to make 44 minus 34 is 10 plus 5. You're going to make $15,000 minus your closing cost, right?
Okay.
So you could do that, or if you feel like you could just add 10 to it and get a quick wholesale deal, that's what I would do.
Okay. Well, I know you don't like to touch this stuff, but I think just visually, if I could get it pressure washed and just do that, people would say, wow, let's go in and look, you know.
Well, I would say if you're going to sell or finance it, maybe so, but if you're going to wholesale it, I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Just well, personally, because if you're going to wholesale it, you're giving them a price, you know, a great price. But if you're trying to sell or finance it and get somebody to put five down, then, you know, you want it to be, a little presentable.
Sure. Okay. Good deal. Well, with this small of an amount, it's not like I've got $100,000 tied up for 6 months.
Right.
You think 15% discount after 6 months of seasoning?
Well, that's a 15% yield, not a discount. But you might be able to sell it at a 12% yield. A 12% yield would be $53,031.
Okay.
So at a 12% yield, just discount that $64,900 note, and I'm figuring it based on 20 years at 9% interest and a payment of $583.92 a month. Okay.
Okay.
So
you
could discount
that.
Head. Yeah, I've done so many of them. But,
I know. I'll just play it with you.
But, yeah, if you discount it down to a 12% yield, it's going to be $53,031. And a 15% yield is going to be $43,344, I believe. So okay. either one of those. So you're either going to make 15 or, you know, 15 or 24 if you could discount it down to 12% yield at 53,000, right?
Okay.
Minus closing cost, of course. Or you could just wholesale it and move on. It's up to you.
Sure. Well,
now, I have bought houses in Rayford. I know Rayford fairly well. I've bought houses there. And, you know, you might want to send somebody out to take a look at it, you know, get pictures of it and take a look at the neighborhood. There was one neighborhood we ran into we were trying to buy a house in, and there was, like, so many vacant and boarded up houses that we're just like, we can't buy in this neighborhood, right?
Right. Well, this is a little out from town. I think it's one or two acres of land as well.
Okay, then it's probably not the same town or same neighborhood I'm thinking of. But, yeah, we've actually bought and sold several houses in Rayford.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wondering if you had or not, but
I don't have a problem with Rayford at all. In fact, the houses that we bought were also double wides.
Okay. I know that was not part of the program originally, but we've had wonderful luck with double wides locally. In fact, they're the only affordable thing to buy, you know, and they're at 100.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, they're 150 in Asheville. So.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah. Okay.
We just made a loan on one up in Henderson.
Oh, did you? Hendersonville?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Henderson County?
Yeah, I think it's Hendersonville or something. It's up somewhere near. Isn't that near you?
Yeah, 23 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. We just did a loan on one up there. Small loan, but, you know, it's a double wide, and days on the market are, you know, pretty short.
Sure.
That's good. Cool. Well, I hope that helps.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Anytime.
Okay, Larry.
Thanks. Anybody else have a question?
Hello, Larry.
Yeah,
Larry. Yeah, it's Rock.
Hey,
Larry.
How you doing?
So I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Good to hear you.
Yeah, good to hear you. Hey, you know, looking to do my first deal, and on the Filthy Riches deal, you know, we can, if we meet the criteria, we can get your brokerage help and buy without any money out of our pocket. Does that work with wholesaling or no?
Not with wholesaling, no. No.
That's what I thought. Just wanted to confirm that.
To submit a property for you talk when you say get my brokerage assistant, you meant funding, right?
Yeah, get your funding assistance, yes.
Okay. Yeah, if you'll go to submitaproperty.com, you can see all
the details
there. Yes,
I've done that, yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, cool. All right.
Sounds great. Awesome. Thanks a lot. I hope that helps.
All right. Yes, have a good one.
Excellent. You too. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, is there a public source for days on the market other than through the MLS?
Yes. If you look on Zillow, it's going to be a few days off, but it's going to be pretty accurate. But a few days off, right, because stuff goes on the MLS first and then Zillow picks it up a few days later. So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be within 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
Accurate. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
I have a question about notes. In regards to if we are to sell a note on a deal we do, what is a realistic rate to kind of get on a note? I mean, you were giving examples of 15 and 12 and 10. I mean, what, let's say we wanted to sell a note at about 10 or 12%, what would kind of the guidelines be for, I mean, how would that note, I mean, what kind of credit would the person need? Would it need to be seasoned, et cetera? What kind of advice can you give?
Sure, I'd be glad to help you with that. If you're going to sell a note at 10 to 12% yield, where the investor that's buying the note is going to get 10 to 12% return on their money, you're going to need to have a borrower that has decent credit, at least a 640 or better, okay? At least a 640 or better. And the note is going to need to be seasoned, meaning you're going to have to collect at least 6 to 12 months payments, okay? And it also needs to be underwritten by an RMLO to make it easier to sell, so it is Dodd-Frank compliant, okay?
Okay.
Now, having said that, it's also another thing that will help you to sell that note faster is the other thing that will help is if you sell a partial, okay? If you sell a partial. Now, because it's a lot easier to sell a partial than it is to sell a full note, okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Good. Like if it's a 20-year note, it's a lot easier to sell a 5 or a 10 years of that note. Good.
So what happens if I sell a 2 or 3 year of a note and the person ends up refinancing out a month later?
Well, first of all, it's not going to happen typically. But if it does and they refinance, then they're only going to pay the person you bought that bought a partial what they are due, and then you get the balance. Now, if they default, right, during that 2 or 3 years, then typically you would either make those payments and foreclose yourself, or you would go ahead and buy them out of the rest of the loan and foreclose yourself to protect your interest of the remaining number of years.
Okay. What kind of fees are associated with selling a note like that?
With selling a note? Some people do it themselves, and some people just have an attorney do a closing, and it shouldn't be more than $500 at the most for a closing, because all the attorney is doing is preparing an assignment, and if it's a land contract, they'll prepare a deed from you to the buyer as well, so the note buyer. So it shouldn't be very much at all.
Okay. Then you said 10 to 12%. What is the highest interest rate you see on notes, and what kind of credit scores are you talking about with these borrowers?
Are you saying interest rate or the yield that you can sell it
for? Sorry, the yield. The yield they will get.
I have sold them as high as 30%, but it just depends on the note, the borrower, the collateral, and the pay history, or is it performing or is it non-performing? There's a lot of variables go into that. Do you have one you're working on right now?
Not quite yet. I'm just kind of trying to educate myself on it and possibly considering it.
Oh, okay, good. Well, as soon as you get one, let me know and I'll walk you through it.
Okay, sounds good. Thank
you. You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
It did. Thank you, Larry.
Good. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, this is Tim again. Could I have a couple of follow-up questions to that?
Sure.
One is just, you never know why people do what they do. I know that. But if somebody has a 640 score, can they not normally just go ahead and buy and use regular bank financing nowadays?
So, I'm sorry, could you start over? Somebody walked in and was talking. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wondered if somebody has a 640 score, wouldn't they just get regular bank financing for something anyway?
Not necessarily, because, you know, listen, I read something the other day that said only about 18% of the people who have a 680 score can qualify for conventional financing.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's interesting. I just
so not
wondered,
necessarily.
Okay. And as far as the underwriting part of it, I assume there is a list of
recommended people to do those mortgages, or where would you go to get the list?
The list of what now?
I forgot your acronym, RMLO.
Oh, an RMLO? Yeah. In your course and the bonuses is an RMLO directory, but I'll just give you one right now, goodstewardservicing.com, goodstewardservicing.com, and look them up, and then call Mark Ross, and they do it nationwide, and they're the cheapest I've found.
Okay. And his last name is Ross?
R-O-S-S.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, what is the
the
source of that, what you just quoted about 18% of people qualifying for bank financing? Where did you read that?
Somewhere online, a newsletter I got not too long ago. I can't remember, but I did read it somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
How about if their credit score is 540 or 550? Can you sell that note?
You can if you season it, right? And also depending on who your note buyer is. If you brought your own note buyer or you found your own note buyer and it's an individual, you know, it's a lot easier than selling it to an institution. But if they have a 540 score, you're going to probably need to season that note and collect the payments for a while before you can get rid of it.
Okay. You have to give a bigger yield?
Yes, absolutely.
What would that maybe be?
It could be 18 or 20%. You know, just depending on the deal also. If it's one of these low-price, cheap houses, you might need to sell it for 25 or 30% yield.
Okay. Good advice. Good. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope it helped. Who else has a question? You guys have had some good questions today. Anybody else have a question?
I got a quick one. You mentioned in St. Louis that your wife and daughter was under the weather. Are they feeling better now?
Yeah, starting to, absolutely. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that.
How do you figure out the yield the easiest way?
You have to have a financial calculator. If you have the Filthy Riches course, there's a calculator built right in. If you don't have it, go to filthyriches.com/analyzer. Filthyriches.com forward slash analyzer, or Google financial calculator on Google, and I'm sure one will pop up somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome, no problem. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? Looks like you guys are about questioned out. Anybody else got a question?
Yeah, it's on a HUD property. If you buy it in a corporation and then you sell the corporation, will that settlement happen on the same day?
Well, that's the only reason you would do that, because that's a way to assign a non-assignable contract where you create a new entity and you get the property under contract in the name of the entity, and then it's one real estate closing and one personal property transaction, and it's all done at the same time.
Okay.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
I do have a question. Let's say I'm trying to buy different properties from HUD and I want to get them in different companies. If for some reason I'm making a bunch of offers and I should get two offers accepted on the same day with the same company name, am I at all able to switch it over within that 24-hour period, or am I stuck with the two properties in that company name?
I'm not. Why do you need multiple companies to do that?
If I were to assign, instead of, if I just wanted to sell the company.
Oh, okay,
the
I'm
time,
with you.
Yeah,
well,
then I don't want two.
Right. If you're offering the correct amount, you're probably not going to get two in the same day, right?
No, but most likely not.
What you could always do is you could accept the best one, and then on the other one, right? Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it expire that night, and then just bid in a different entity the same amount, and they'll accept it the next day, probably.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'll do it that way.
Good.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
So when you buy properties in the HUD, do you use the same corporation for all the properties you're buying?
I do. The only reason you would have a separate one that you want to sell is if you needed to assign a non-assignable contract. That's the only reason in the world you would ever do that.
Okay, so you have to know that before you put your bid in then.
Yeah, because you have to enter the entity name and the tax ID number or the individual's
right.
name and the Social Security number that you're bidding in.
Right. So basically all the properties you bid in the same entity, you don't sell any of them.
Right. Me personally, yes.
Right. Okay. So you'd have to know ahead of time, basically. You'd have to say, well, that property I'm going to sell and get rid of it before you do that.
Well, you would the only reason in the world you would do that is if you don't have the money to close and you don't have
okay.
private money and you haven't lined
okay.
up transaction funding, and you don't have
okay.
any other way to do it, but you do have a buyer, right?
Okay. Well, the other end of it is you're selling for, say, $10,000 more, right?
But that has nothing. I mean, your buyer shouldn't mind, knowing how much you pay. It doesn't really matter.
Right, but I'm saying if you buy it knowing you're going to sell it, then you could your increase if you buy it for $40,000, you're selling your corporation to them for $50,000. That's why you would do it, not really any other reason. Or
right, to be able to assign a non-assignable
right.
contract.
Right. So that's wholesaling exactly. inside of HUD, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's just one of the ways you can fund a deal. In fact, on those videos I mentioned earlier that we recorded at our event, I go through all
right.
the different ways to assign a non-assignable contract.
Yep.
Good. Hope that helped.
Yep. Good.
Good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Leonard in Arkansas.
Hey.
Hey, sir, buying a first property, does it? You said not to buy in your own name, to buy in an LLC, or is an LLC limited partnership, or how do you do that? What entity did you buy the first one, buy in?
Well, a lot of people do their very first deal in their own name because they just don't have an entity set up. But if you do have an entity or you're in a position to do that and be ready before your first deal, I would recommend, getting your entity set up. Have you received a call from Prime yet?
I'm sorry, from who?
From Prime about setting up your entity.
No, I have not, sir.
Okay, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me go look at this website. We've got a special site set up, a special page. Let me go look and see if I can find it right quick, where you can go and get a consultation with the people who set up our students' entities for them, okay? Let me
okay.
see. Okay. Yeah, it's LarryGoins.com/Prime.
Did you say Prime? P-R-I-M-E?
P-R-I-M-E. LarryGoins.com /prime.
Okay.
Right?
And go to that site and they should help me?
Yep. There's a little video there, right? There's a little video there that talks about entity structuring, tax planning, tax returns, corporate planning, and corporate credit and estate planning.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I hope that helps. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Yes. We set up our website, and I reached out to Carid afterwards. And Carid, I asked them, which of the plans, the websites that we got, if that was the $99 plan. And the guy said, well, I don't really know what kind of plan you guys are set up for, but maybe a question for Larry. I figured that would help a lot of us to know exactly what we're signed up for.
Yeah, if you have a, what you probably have is the 3-website plan that includes Podio. But if you have any questions about that, you can always email or go to LarryGoinsSupport.com and fill out a support ticket, and they'll help you with that.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Oh, good. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else?
Do you have any more tips for lining up money?
In that 3-day training, we go over in detail a lot of information about lining up money. I mean, there's people who do whole 3-day events and home study courses on nothing but getting money. There's so many different ways to get money. You know, friends, family, relatives, cash partner, credit partners, credit cards. You know, there is micro lending sites and, you know, sites like Kickstarter and Lending Club, and there's all kind of sites to do that. So there's just so much. That's a whole seminar in itself. But if you'll go and look at that 3-day training video in the Knowledge Base University for Inner Circle members, you'll see a whole training on that.
Okay.
Good. I hope that helps. Anybody else have a question? All right, going once. Going twice.
Thank you, Larry.
Hey, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
I appreciate your business.
Thank you.
It's been a great call. You guys had a lot of good questions today, and I appreciate your business, appreciate you being on. And thank you guys so much for being here. And remember, if you have any questions, you can always email me in between these calls and ask any question that you want, or give me a call as well. So with that, thanks a lot, everybody. I hope you guys have a great day. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.